Friday could quite possibly be the most important day for our country in our lifetimes, and it could very well be the most important day in the history of the United States. And I don't think that's an exaggeration to say that, because in the entire history of the United States, we've never faced a war or a moral evil that's happened on the scale of abortion. And over 65 million lives have been lost since the Roe versus Wade decision. And that's a decision that's caused so many wounds in the hearts of mothers and fathers. And it's also darkened the consciences of so many people. You know, if someone gives free rein to one evil within their life, a lot of other evils can often follow. And so we thank God for the courage of the Supreme Court to do what was right, even in the face of intimidation and threats to their lives. And this decision could potentially save the lives of millions of children. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Supreme Court decision happened on the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because I think we can see within that, you know, the love that our Lord has in his Sacred Heart for each and every human life. And that includes the unborn. And so it's very appropriate that on the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Roe versus Wade would be reversed. Here in Ohio, the heartbeat law was passed in 2019, banning abortions after a heartbeat is detected. But that law was stayed by the federal court. But now, as of Friday, the federal court has reversed that, and the heartbeat law is now in effect. So at this very moment, abortions are illegal after a heartbeat is detected, which is at about 6 weeks. And there's other legislation that's in process that could potentially ban abortions altogether in the state of Ohio. This doesn't mean an end for abortion within our country, because it simply returns those decisions to the state legislatures. But at the same time, this could very well be a huge turning point in our country's history. Now, but our legal system, we have to keep in mind, is very fragile, and it can sway radically in different directions. And so it's important for us to stay vigilant. And a lot of prayer is still necessary, certainly for good laws at the state level, and for, more importantly, a conversion of hearts. Because just because a law changes doesn't mean that people's hearts change. And that's what's more important. And a lot of work still needs to be done to support pregnancy resource centers so that women who are in difficult situations with their pregnancies can find the support that they need. And a lot of work needs to be done in healing for those who have been harmed by abortion. In our second reading today, St. Paul tells the Galatians not to use the freedom that they've been given in Christ to commit sin. Not to use it in order to gratify the desires of the flesh, but to use the freedom that we've been given to serve one another through love. And I think that's a very appropriate lens for us to look at this issue of abortion. You know, we are given freedom in order to serve others in love, and that includes the most vulnerable among us. St. John Paul II once said, "A society will be judged on the basis of how it treats its weakest members, and among the most vulnerable are surely the unborn and the dying." And so, how do we use the freedom that we've been given? Do we use the freedom we've been given to defend the lives and the dignity of the most vulnerable among us? I saw a billboard a while back as I was driving south on 68 through Champaign County. And it said, the billboard said, "Love ends abortion." And I had 2 hours on the drive down to Cincinnati to think about that. And I was thinking, you know, how does love end abortion? You know, often women don't choose abortion, but they feel they have no choice. But love at any step of the way can end abortion. You know, if we think about the decision that young people make regarding chastity, a lot of abortions happen because women are not married, and they have an unplanned pregnancy outside of marriage. And so it's important, especially for young people, to make decisions in love, for especially for our young men, as to how they treat women. You know, it's important for us not to use women for pleasure. If a young man truly loves a girl, he's going to respect her, and he's going to embrace the virtue of chastity, because a young man would never want to subject a woman to a situation where she feels like she has to have an abortion. If a young man truly loves a woman, he's going to treat her with chastity. And that means leaving relations to their proper context, which is the sacrament of holy matrimony. If young people engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, that's not love, it's lust. And that puts women in many situations in a very difficult situation, and it certainly harms them morally. And so love at that level will end abortion. If people make responsible decisions to embrace the virtue of chastity and to live by God's laws, then that's going to end abortion. If fathers and the family of women support them if they're in an at-risk pregnancy, that's going to help them to choose life. And so that love that's shown to women who are in that situation would end abortion. You know, pregnancy centers that welcome at-risk mothers with love and give them the resources and support that they need in order to enable them to choose life. You know, that act of love will end abortion. You know, if at-risk mothers were told the truth about the value of their child's life and who it was that was developing and growing within their womb, the love that those mothers would have for their unborn child would end abortion. You know, if our society loved unborn children and the mothers enough to enact laws that support the sanctity of human life, that would end abortion. If doctors loved the patients that they were treating, they would never perform an abortion. And so love at any step of the way can intervene and bring an end to abortion. And I think what that can teach us is that every single one of us has a responsibility and a role to play in creating a culture of life. This is not just some problem that somebody else has to deal with. Every single one of us has an important responsibility to play, in part by making good moral decisions in how we live, and in part being willing, if there are situations where somebody we know is in a difficult pregnancy, to reach out and to show them the support and the love that they need so that they can choose life. Now, chances are pretty good that some of us here in church are going to encounter somebody who's in an at-risk pregnancy situation, and we could be the person that intervenes and shows them the love that they need in order to choose life. You know, for our young people, they might know somebody in their school who has an unplanned pregnancy, or some of us might have someone in our family that's in a situation like that. And so, you know, the responsibility falls to all of us to create a culture where life flourishes. And so, you know, as we reflect upon St. Paul's reading, you know, we're not called to live the freedom we've been given to indulge in the desires of the flesh. We're called to live by the Spirit. And that means ushering in a civilization of authentic love, where life in all of its stages is cherished, respected, and supported.